So you never have a second chance to make a first impression. You've heard that statement. You never have a second chance to make a first impression. It's one of those really scary ideas that if I present myself in a way which is not my best, that you won't like who I am, or you won't like the kind of, you won't want to be around me. I hope it's not true of building friendships. I hope in building friendships, in building community, which we're going to talk about community today, I hope in building friendships that if I'm not presenting my very best, that you're able to forgive and that you're able to look past that and you're able to get to know me on a personal level regardless of that first impression. But the saying goes, you've never have a second chance to make a first impression. When I speak up here, you always get my freshest material. I always try to present what the Lord is speaking to me that week, or what I've been studying that week, or you know, what's stirring in my heart and my mind. You don't hear sermons that I've delivered, you know, in weeks past. You don't hear the same material over and over again. And even in illustrations, you hear some of the freshest illustrations that I can possibly give you. There might be stories that happened a while back, but I don't repeat a lot of illustrations over and over again because it works. What's funny, I've been watching this documentary about comedians. And comedians, I did not realize all the work that went into comedy and how much they rehearse their material, and they'll go and if the material doesn't work, they don't use it. But if the material's funny and if you get a lot of laughs, then they'll continue to use that material over and over again. And I was watching this thing about Jerry Seinfeld, and after his Seinfeld show, he rebooted. He did away with all his old material and started fresh again, brand new material. And it was, you know, this guy who everybody knows. Everybody knows the name Seinfeld. Even if you don't watch him, even if you don't like him, you know the name Seinfeld. And here he rebooted to the point they didn't know his material. He didn't know his material. There were times in this video that I was watching where he would pause and he forgot his joke. He didn't know it was new material to him, and he was hashing it out and working it out. But by the time, you know, a year goes by, he knows his material. He knows what's working, what's not working, and he's absolutely funny again. And people laugh pretty much from beginning to end because he's figured out what's funny. He's figured out what works and what doesn't work. When I deliver a message here, you get the freshest stuff. If it don't work, I'm sorry, you know. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, you know, if I get a laugh, I get a laugh. If I don't, I don't. I can't come back next week and bring it back and hopefully get a bit better laugh. It just doesn't work like that. Talking about friendships, talking about first impressions, talking about building community, I'm beginning a series of messages on community. And I believe this is a very important series of messages. I believe it's something that I want the whole church talking about. And it's not, and you can read it in your bulletin, I'm not aiming to point out the negative. I'm not trying to point out when people aren't here or when people are here, and I'm not trying to cover any of that. I want to talk about what is community. What is community? What is biblical community? What does it mean for the church? And let's start to rediscover what the church means. That's what I'm wanting to do. And so I have this burden on my heart for community. And community is based on friendships. It's based on building those friendships, building those relationships. If we get these friendships right, if we get our friendships right, it sets us up for success in so many areas of our Christian life and of our regular, everyday, not in church life. If we have the right relationships, the right friendships, it builds success into our lives in other areas. If we get them wrong, it ends up with more pain, more destruction than we can even imagine sometimes. It's important what kind of friends we have, and it's important what kind of friendships we're building. That's important in our lives. You've heard the jokes, show me and I'll show you. You've heard those jokes, show me a singing beetle and I will show you a humbug. You've heard those kinds of jokes. Show me a good loser and I'll show you a man that's playing golf with his boss. Show me a man that loves when everything goes wrong, that smiles when everything's wrong, and I'll show you a repairman. Show me a home where the buffalo roams and the deer and the antelope play, and I'll show you a really messy house. Show me a man that truly understands women, who believes he's got it all figured out with women, and I'll show you a man that's in for a big surprise later on. You've heard all these, right? You've heard these jokes. Well, I got one for you today. It's not a joke. But show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. Show me the friends that you have, And I'll show you what kind of outcome you're going to have later on in life. The kind of friends that we have are important. And building community, a Christian community, is absolutely important. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20 will be our first verse this morning that we're looking at. And we'll be in a few verses in Proverbs, and we're going to jump around just a little bit. But Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20 says, walk with the wise, read it with me, and we what? We become wise. Walk with the wise and we become wise. That alone is just a huge statement. Who and what we hang out with, who we hang out with is who we end up becoming like. Who we hang out is, when we hang out with good friends, we end up becoming good. When we hang out with the not so good, what does it say? Associate with fools and what happens? You get in trouble. You get in trouble. So you hang out with the good people and you end up like the good people. And that's true in my life. It's true of your life too. The friends that I hung out when they were good kids, man, I was doing good. I was walking the walk, talking the talk. I was a good Christian when I was hanging out with good Christian friends. But when I hung out with the not so good Christian friends, it didn't turn out so good. In fact, it was in high school that one of my friends, he was a good friend too, but he was one that always was getting me into trouble. And I loved that guy so much that I would follow him. You know, I wasn't necessarily a follower, but I loved this guy so much. He was hilarious, fun to be around. But he's the one, you know, when the teacher would go out of the classroom, and he's like, hey, let's start throwing the teacher stuff out the window. I'm like, yeah, sounds like a great idea. Let's start throwing the teacher stuff out the window. And so you start chucking the teacher stuff, or let's turn all the desks around or whatever. He was that guy, you know. He was that guy that I loved hanging out with, but he was always the one that was getting me into trouble. All the time. And you have those kinds of friends. You've been there too, that who you're hanging out with is what you're ending up like. And when you got those good friends, those guys that are like, hey, let's pray together, or let's do what the Bible says, and you end up, yeah, that's a great idea. Let's do that. Let's do what the Bible says. Let's pray together. Let's lift this person up. It always takes that one person, right? It's always, you know, somebody going, hey, let's go visit that guy. Let's go visit that woman. You know, she's not doing well. Or, you know, we should call them up. And of course, what do? You go and visit them, and you go and call them up, because having good friends, who you hang out with, is who you end up being like. Any success that I've had in life, almost, I could track it. Any success I've had in life is almost a direct result of the kind of friends that influenced me, the kind of advice that was being given to me, the wisdom that was being shared to me. And when I was doing good, and when I did good, and when I've done good, is always because I've had good people in my life who are guiding and directing me in a good way. Almost every time. Almost every time I got in trouble, almost every time I made the wrong choices, is because I wasn't getting the good advice. I wasn't getting good wisdom from good friends. Almost every time. So today, and actually, let's begin today, but throughout this series of messages, I want you to begin to think about, who are my closest friends? Begin to list them. Actually, literally start to write down, or at least do it in your mind. And let's start today. Who are my closest friends? Who are your closest friends? Who are the five closest friends that I have in my life? And if you list them right now, your average, well, they say, at least the powers that be say, you are the average of your five closest friends. That's the scientific journal study. You are the average of your five closest friends. So who you're hanging out with, this is what your sociologists are telling you today. Who you hang out with is who you end up becoming like. You are the average of your five closest friends. So the question, you know, if you want to have really good finances in your life, if you want to be successful financially, you do well to hang out with those that are doing successful financially. They told me this years ago when I was in Bible college, and they're saying, what kind of pastor do you want to be like? Why don't you hang out with those kind of pastors? And they told me that years ago. And it's hard to hang out with other pastors because we're all preaching on Sabbath. But point is, who you hang out with, who you want good finances, you hang out with people that have good finances. You want to be crazy and a wild person, well, guess what? Hang out with those that are like that. You'll end up being just like them. That's probably not the best thing to do, but that's what happens. You want to be spiritually focused. If you want to be spiritually engaged, hang out with those that are spiritually focused, spiritually engaged, people that are learning and studying the Bible and have a passion for it. People like Elder John and Elder Nathan, you know, people that just love the Bible, that have a passion for it. You hang out with them. They begin to rub up on you. They begin affecting your spiritual life, and you begin walking a little bit more with the Lord. Amen. Like it or not, you become like those that you hang out with. Who you hang out with, it affects you. It affects you even when you're older. It affects you when you're younger. Who you're hanging out with is who you're ending up like. What is friendship? How do we define friendship? Well, if we follow maybe what was in that video, friendship is when you have somebody you maybe barely know, you don't know them too well, but you're able to friend them on Facebook and they accept your friendship, and then later on they begin liking you on Facebook and you don't even know who that guy is, but he's liking you on Facebook and he's liking your posts. That's your friends according to the nowadays standards with social media. And I'm not dissing on social media. I don't want you for a second to think that I'm dissing on social media today. Social media has lots of benefits in our lives today and has blessed and benefited a lot of people. But that is not the truest definition of a friend. A friend isn't just one who you friend on Facebook, and a friend is not one that you just like their posts and they like your posts, and then when you don't like their posts, you hide them or you block them on Facebook, and or you can unfriend them. What is that idea of unfriending? Unfriending. No. Proverbs chapter 17:17 gives us actually a better definition, a truer definition of a friend. Read this with me, would you? A friend is always loyal, and a brother is born to help in a time of need. A friend is always loyal. He's not somebody that if he doesn't like your post, he unfriends you, or if he doesn't like your post, he hides you on Facebook. No, a friend is always loyal, always loving, somebody who is there for you in the best times, somebody that's there for you in the worst times. If you are a friend to someone, we're beginning the series in community. If you are a friend to someone, trying to be a friend to someone, you are going to be there for them when they're going through the worst of times, when their sister's dying, when their mom's dying, when their best friend is just got dumped, when their marriage is suffering, when school is kind of rocky for them. You're there for them. You love them through that. But you're there for them in the best of times too. You're there to support them when they're doing good, when they're getting the A's in school, and when they're doing well, when they're succeeding in their job. You're there for them, supporting them there as well. Always loyal and a brother to help in time of need. There's the definition of a friend, somebody that's there to help them in a time of need, the worst of times. The worst of times when things are all going wrong, a good friend, a true friend, is there to help them in a time of need. Are you a true friend this morning? Are you there to help your friends in a time of need? Are they suffering? Are they struggling? Are you there to support them? That is a true friend. What if you had that kind of friend? What if you were that kind of friend? What if you were struggling and you had that kind of friend? What a support that would be in your life. How helpful would that be? When your business is not succeeding and you don't know what to do, what an incredible support to have in your life to help you think through that process, to help you walk through that, pray through that, to support you in that. What if you're just going through such a hard time right now and you're struggling emotionally? Have that person that supports you. What incredible help in a time of need. We are called to be that kind of friend. We're called to be the kind of friend that is there in the best times and in the worst of times. There is a study. The average American. Now, earlier I had you think through, and I'm going to, as these weeks progress, I want you to continue to think, who are my closest friends? That's the question I want you to continue to ask yourself. Who are my closest friends? But the study goes, the average American has two close friends. Years ago, it was, not that many years ago actually, it was six close friends. But that percentage has diminished. 25% of Americans have none, no friends at all. That's the study I read. It's a journal study. Two close friends. 2 decades, that's according to what the study was, 2 decades. We used to have 6, and now it's been cut down by about 1/3. Who are your closest friends? Why are friendships declining? Well, there's several reasons. I'll list 3 for you. 3 reasons why friendships are declining. First of all, increasing work hours. We're having to work more and more, longer and longer, and so our friendships, we're having less time to spend with our friends. So increasing work hours. Another reason, increasing divorce rates. You know, when your wife has friends and you have friends and you have joint friends, and then when you're divorced, it it upsets those relationships, and so the increase in divorce rates. And number three, the explosion of social media. And again, I'm not dissing on social media. I love social media. I have Facebook. I'm not the best on Facebook. I need to be on it more often, actually. But I've had Facebook since 2005, so my problem isn't with social media. But because of social media, because we're on our thumbs all the time and less face-to-face interaction, we're seeing relationships declining, friendships declining, because we're not actually spending time together. We're spending time texting and Facebooking, but we're not spending time actually in person-to-person relationships. Social media has redefined our relationships. Social media has redefined what it means to be a friend. Before Facebook, before Twitter, before Instagram and all of that, we used to actually spend time to time with each other. We would call up our friend. And you can't even imagine. Can you imagine today? Can you imagine you have a good sandwich. You really enjoy your sandwich. And so you call up, 50 or 100 of your friends and say, look at what kind of sandwich I ate. You can't even imagine doing that today. But on Facebook, and I've seen this time and time again, if you really like your meal, you thought you did a good job, you'll take a picture of it. You'll take a selfie with it. You're like, look at my, get it just right. And have, it's always from above. Those are the best pictures, right? And you just get it right, and you get a picture of that meal, and you really enjoy what you send it to all your friends. Everybody on Facebook gets to see what kind of food you have. Nothing wrong with that, but you can't even imagine doing that years ago when you had to call people up. It's so different today. It has redefined what it means to be a friend. Nowadays, people are no longer worried about building those close relationships. Nowadays, because of social media, people are worried, they're obsessing with their perceptions, with their image, their online image. That's what's so important. And you've seen those studies where who you are on Facebook, you always put your best foot forward, you always try to look your best, and people see who you are on Facebook isn't always who you are behind the scenes. They're seeing the best of your life. They're seeing just the snapshots of your experiences and not the whole entire thing. But you always try to show those best examples. So we're trying to control our identity on social media. We're trying to control that perception that people have of us, and that's what people worry about a whole lot more than building those one-on-one interactions, those relationships with each other. Facebook, social media, those kind of things, they need to be a supplement, and there's nothing wrong with them, but they need to be a supplement to actual healthy relationships, growing friendships, building that kind of a community. They aren't the only sole thing. I find in my own life, the more followers I get, and I don't get as many followers as I used to because I don't post as much, but the more followers I get on Facebook, the more lonely I tend to feel, because those relationships they're not the real deal. They're not calling people on the phone. They're not talking to them in person. Those kind of social media relationships are just people friending you on Facebook. They're not the real friendships. And so I tend to feel more and more cut off from them because I don't know them. I don't know those people. I don't really get to know them on a personal level. It's the illusion of intimacy. It's this illusion that I'm friends with them. But it's not, it's like the guy in the video, I got 2,000 Facebook friends, and he saw a tear in his eye, and yet the guy's like, that's not a real friend. It's the illusion of intimacy, but it's not real, true, genuine intimacy. It's counterfeit to what God intends for us to have. God intends for us to have real friendships, real community, real relationships. The more I use social media, the more I'm on there, the more I crave the real thing, crave real friendships and real relationships. So that was a really long introduction to today's message. In upcoming weeks, what I want the church to be talking about, and I want you to engage this conversation. This needs to be something we're talking about. What is community? What does it mean to have community in our church? I want to talk more and more about community, and I want you to join in on that conversation. I don't want to point out the problems. Like I said, I don't want to point out the negative. I don't want this to be about church growth or what's going on with the church. What I want is for us to reconsider what the real meaning of church is. What does it mean to be a church? What does it mean to be a community? I want to think in this one thing. I want you guys to have this in your mind as we go in these weeks to come. What is one person every week that I could reach out to, that I can touch on a personal level and maybe encourage them and build their faith? What is one person that I can invite into my relationship, into my world. So for the remaining time this morning, I have two thoughts with you that I want to share. And for the remaining time, I want to talk about rediscovering this lost art of friendship, title of my message this morning. First thought I want to share with you, number one, be present. Be present. When it comes to building Christian relationships, friendships, be present. I want you to repeat this with me. This is going to be our saying for this morning. Repeat this after me. I will develop my friendships face to face, and not just thumbs to thumbs. That is my encouragement. We need to be present in our friendships. We need to be present in our relationships. Jesus didn't say, read this book and your life will go perfect for you. What did he say? He said, no, come and follow me. When he was talking to his disciples, you know, go read this or go, you know, go learn what I'm talking. He said, follow me. He was present in their lives. He was saying, come after me. See who I am. Learn what I do. Learn what kind of a man I am. Not just read about me, but who am I when I'm around you? Who am I when I'm present with you? Today, kids know, our younger people know something isn't right. There's more children today complaining about parents being on their phones than vice versa. It might not be true across the board for all of us, but there are a lot more kids today complaining that parents are spending time. So you imagine the kid goes to their parent and they're like, hey, Dad, hey, Mom, I've got this great thing going on. And the parent's like, yeah, uh-huh, go ahead and tell me about it, uh-huh. And they're not really engaging their child, and the children are feeling more and more isolated from their families, from their parents, because the parents they're on their devices as much or more than our younger people are. It's the reality of our current culture. We are so thumbs to thumbs with each other. We are so, you know, surfing the internet, and we are so into our devices that we don't even take the time to put them down to spend time with each other. Your child is begging for your attention sometimes. We need to be present in our relationships. We need to be present with those that are around us. Hebrews chapter 10 says this, Hebrews chapter 10 verse 24, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together. Let us motivate one another. Let's engage each other and motivate each other towards acts, towards love. Let's encourage one another. Let's be present in each other's lives and encouraging towards acts of love. And of course, verse 25, let us not neglect our meeting together. Let us be together. That's the idea of community and friendships. Community is about building friendships. We are a church that needs to be together. That doesn't happen when we're apart from each other. And we all have reasons for being apart from each other, but the way that we build community, the way that we build relationships with one another, is to be present. Meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another. Encourage each other. That happens face to face. That doesn't happen with your thumbs, but it needs to happen face to face. Especially now that the day of, now don't get me wrong, it should happen with your thumbs too. It should happen. We should be encouraging each other in text and in person. Especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. So important that we engage one another and come together and encourage each other. Community is essential. Building friendships is essential. And how do we build friendships? By being present. There is power in presence. Being present is huge in our lives, in the lives that are around us. I'm not always the best at hospital visits. I'm not always the best at visiting when somebody's sick. And I'm especially not always the best at visiting when somebody dies. And the reason I'm not the best is I don't always know the right thing to say. I pray God for wisdom. God, give me the wisdom to know what to say to this individual. And you show up, and sometimes the words just aren't there. You show up, and this person's sick and suffering, and you just don't know what to tell them. You know, they lost a loved one, and what do you tell somebody in that situation, especially when you haven't really gone through a lot of that yourself? How do you relate to that individual? And sometimes it's really hard for me as a pastor to be able to relate to that because I haven't gone through it myself. And I just pray, God, give me wisdom, give me the right words to say, let me know how to relate to this person and be able to share with them. And there are times I just don't have the right words to say. But yet I get these nice, wonderful little notes in the mail from the people afterwards, and they say, thank you for being with me, and thank you for being present, and thank you, and beautiful notes. And it reminds me of all those times I've read how much more important being present really is. So much more important. It's not just about the words you say or the prayers you pray. It's about being present in their lives. We need to be present. If you're sick and you're suffering, you know, people will say, I'm praying for you. So more impacting when they actually pray with you. But they'll say, I'm praying for you. But you know what sticks in my mind? I was sick one time, really sick. My family, my wife, I were all sick. We were at home. And this was when we were first married. We had just had, Jaden was really little. He was just a baby at that time. We were so sick. We were having a hard time taking care of Jaden. We had the flu. We both had the flu right at the same time. And my second cousin, Catherine Keim, some of you actually know who Catherine Keim is, she came over. We were living up in Missouri, and she came over, and she took care of us. She made sure we had some food. She wiped, disinfected our apartment at the time. And what a blessing. And the thing is, that has stuck with me all these years. I can't remember all the people that said, I'll pray for you. I can't remember all the people that actually prayed with me. But I remember her coming over, and I remember her showing up, and I remember her being present. How powerful of that moment was in my own life. We need to be present. Building friendships, we need to be present. And not just present physically, not just being there, but actually engaging, be present emotionally. Sometimes that means putting the phone down, and sometimes that means putting the tablet down, but to actually be able to engage on an emotional level with our friends, with our family. I have been enjoying on Wednesdays when we have lunch. I told them, I go, I don't have an agenda. Just, bring, if you have a Bible topic, just bring it. If you have something you want to talk about, it doesn't even have to be about the Bible, bring it. And let's just enjoy each other. And I have been enjoying that so much because I'm actually present with them. It's not so much about what we've talked about. It's not so much about what we've prayed about. It's not about to me, it's been so important for just that being present with those that are there, spending that time with them. What a blessing. For those that want to come, I encourage you to come. And one of my favorite, thinking about even recently, about the recent youth trip, this winter retreat, one of my absolute favorite times that I've had with this winter retreat. I enjoyed the whole thing. I always love winter retreat whenever we go, but one of my favorite times that I had was when me and Patty and my wife and the kids, when we went to lunch afterwards. We all were at Mexican afterwards and had that lunch together, and we were all sitting around the table, and that time together meant so much more to me than maybe the whole rest of the camp, because we were able to actually enjoy each other and spend time together instead of being in our own Bible studies and being separated. We were together, and that was huge to me, a huge moment. I enjoyed it so much. We need to be present. Number two, get open. Get open, be open with each other. Did you know that so many today are getting more and more afraid to use their phones, to actually answer the phone? There's a fear. I didn't even know that it was a fear until I read about it. It's a fear nowadays that people have about answering their phones. And why? Because they can't predict the direction that the conversation is going to go. They can't predict what's going to be said on the phone. And because they don't know what's going to be said on the phone, they're afraid of it. And a lot of that has to do with some of our social media stuff, because, when you're on social media or when you're emailing, you know exactly what is being typed out. Don't always know what the comment's going to be, but you know what's being typed out, and you're able to think through what you're going to say. But when you're on the phone, in the spur of the moment, you don't know what's going to come out of your mouth. You don't know what's going to come out of their mouth. You just can't predict. And so people more and more nowadays are afraid of talking on the phone. They're afraid of answering the phone. I got to even admit, I hear the ringer ring, and my mind starts going, okay, who's calling, and what do they want, and how bad is it, and what's the problem, and am I in trouble, and my mind starts going through all these things, and I know that it's an increasing fear in our society. It's an increasing fear in our world today. It's so much easier to share weakness, to be transparent with a group. We get in a group or even online in social media, when you are conversing in a group, it becomes so much easier to be open and transparent with each other. But to do so one-on-one becomes this fearful thing to share with somebody who you are, who you really are, and the things that you're suffering with becomes this really incredibly fearful thing. James chapter 5, verse 16 says this, "Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed." Confess your sins to each other. Be transparent with each other. Be open with each other. And when we're talking about community, when we're building friendships, we need to learn to be open with each other and transparent with each other and tell each other what's going on and pray for each other. Be there, be present, and pray for each other so that you may be healed. There was this very, I would say, at the winter retreat last week, there was this very powerful moment at the camp where Rose and some of the other leaders had asked everybody there, not just the kids, but had asked all the adults and everybody to line up on the walls. And they said, and they started going through, if you've ever dealt with this, come to the center. And some of it was silly stuff, you know, if you ever, I don't remember everything, if you ever ate pizza, come to the center, you know, that sort of thing, and everybody would come to the center. But then they would go deeper and deeper. If you've ever had somebody make fun of you, come to the center, and you'd see how many people would come to the center. And what an incredibly transparent moment as you're allowing people to see that part of your life. And again, it was in a group. It's so much easier in group than face-to-face. But what a powerful moment where you begin opening up and being transparent about what's going on in your heart, what's going on in your life, what is God dealing with you right now. And you're not alone. To know that you're not alone, that there's others that are supporting you, others that are there for you, others that are praying with you through it. That is what is so amazing about true community, true friendships. You are not alone. No matter what you're going through today, somebody is there who has experienced it, somebody has been through it. They know what you're dealing with. We impress people with our strengths, but we connect with people through our weaknesses. We impress people by showing them the best sides of our lives on Facebook. We impress them by sharing the great things that we're doing and accomplishing. But how do we really connect with people? By being transparent with them, by showing them the real Paul. Showing them where I really struggle, who I really am. It's not just that, you know, yes, I love communicating, but who is Paul when he's not communicating? Who is Paul when he's not at potluck? Who is Paul when he's by himself with his family? Who is Paul when he's frustrated with his wife? Who is Paul when he doesn't know what to tell his children? And speaking of children, what good does it do if I tell my children, I'm perfect, I've never had a struggle in my life. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're dealing with. How does that help my children at all? No, it doesn't. What helps my sons and what will continue to help my children is when I say, you know what? I've been there. I've been through it. I understand where you've been. I was a teen once too. I was a teenager long before I ever became a pastor. I was a man long before I ever became any of it. I know exactly what you're going through and where you've been. I know the struggles that you're dealing with. Let me help you through it. Let me pray with you through it. Let me stand there with you. Let me support you through it. How much better that is for our children, for our young people. Friendship is a gift. It's a gift of God. God has given us this wonderful gift of friendship, incredible gift of friendship. Community is a gift that God has given us as well. Be present. Be open, be transparent. God can use this to strengthen you as an individual. He can use it to strengthen me as an individual. He can use it to strengthen our church. We just need to have the courage to acknowledge that we need to be able to acknowledge, you know, what we're doing with social media and all that. It isn't always working. What we really need, genuine friendships, genuine community. God wants this for us, and I believe it. I see in his word today. I'm absolutely burdened with it. Worship team, if you come forward. And as they're coming forward, I just want to, again, one last time encourage you. Let's begin this dialogue. This is the first message in a series of messages concerning community. Let's begin this conversation. As you go from here today, as you go to potluck, as you go, let's begin talking about what is true community? What is community? What does God want for us in community and in our friendships? Amen?